Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology, and it's great to be able to speak about the truths and love of our Blessed Mother with you through this program. But I want to take a moment and thank the people, the order that makes this possible. It is the Franciscans Friars of the Immaculate, indeed sometimes nicknamed the Colby Franciscans, but this great order of Franciscans of the Immaculate, founded by Father Stefano Manelli, a spiritual son of Padre Pio, are the friars, the men and women who have taken vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and special vows to Our Lady to bring things like this to you. The Franciscans of the Immaculate are what, in fact, make Air Maria possible, and therefore they make Marycast possible. And I just want to say a special thanks for all they do to mediate for the Mediatrix. Their cutting-edge technology in the heart of the spirit of St. Maximian Kolbe is what allows me to bring this to you. So great thanks to the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate for all they do for Our Lady. And special thanks to my producer, Mr. Kevin Clark, for all he does to bring the best of Our Lady that we can to you. So many thanks for these subordinate mediators. And today we're going to talk about subordinate mediators. We're going to talk about Mary as a mediatrix in light of Jesus Christ, the one mediator. My friends, I'm going to deal with this with no presuppositions except the general Christian presupposition of what St. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 2:5, and that is that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, at first examination, those words of St. Paul seem to exclude any other modes of mediation. One mediator, that's what he says. Now, it's interesting in Greek that the word for one is actually the word used for prime. It's not monos, which means exclusive mediator, but it's a reference for prime mediator, which tells us that, yes, Jesus is the one mediator, but it doesn't presuppose that others cannot share in this mediation. So let's start in a most basic fashion. Let's start with you and me. Do you do anything that helps someone else's salvation? Do you do anything by way of prayer, by way of Christian witness, by way of evangelization, where you have brought the saving news or the saving grace of Jesus Christ to another human being? If you have, and God willing, you are a mediator. And besides that, you're human and you're created. And beyond that, you are participating in the one mediation of Jesus Christ, because his goal is to get everyone linked to the Father, that the Father and humanity would be one in him. So, can humans mediate in a secondary sense? Of course they can. They do it all the time. They do it in human affairs, but they also do it in spiritual affairs. Any of you mothers and fathers who have brought your children for baptism, well, certainly you've been a mediator of grace for them. But you're not the prime mediator. The prime mediator is Jesus Christ in view of the merits of his redemptive passion, death, and resurrection through his earthly life and climaxed at Calvary. So Mary shares in the mediation of Jesus Christ like no other. Let me say that again. The mother of Jesus, Mary, shares in the one mediation of Jesus Christ like no other. That means that Mary cooperates in bringing grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of salvation and redemption, to human beings like no other creature does. So let's again establish why humans can mediate, why creatures can mediate, as long as we're sure that it's all entirely dependent and founded on the one mediation of Jesus Christ. Well, Scripture makes this very clear. In the Old Testament, we have three sets of created mediators. We have, number one, the prophets. Number two, we have the patriarchs. Number three, we have the angels. And briefly, let's go through those three groups. The prophets were clearly mediators between Yahweh and the people of Israel. Typically, they were stoned to death for being true messengers, for, in fact, telling the world what Yahweh wanted, and oftentimes the people did not want it. But there's no question that God used human individuals as prophets to be an intercessory role, to be a go-between between himself and the human family. And with the mediators of prophets, we also have the mediators of patriarchs. For example, Moses. Moses is clearly a mediator between Yahweh and his people. You have Abraham, who, you know, all the covenant makers are, of course, mediators. Now, I'm focusing this especially to Bible-believing Christians, or even to Old Testament-believing Jews, that we do grant that creatures can have a role of mediation between God and man. To deny this, my friends, is simply to deny Scripture. It's certainly to deny the Old Testament. Remember, in that rather dramatic time in the Old Testament where, during the Exodus, Moses puts out his arms at the commands of God, and if he puts his arms out and keeps them out, then indeed his people will win the battle. The Israelites will defeat the Amalekites. But if his arms go down, then it's going to go the other way. Well, this symbolizes Jesus on the cross, his arms extended, he being the mediator between God and man to bring us redemption. So, creatures, mediating, absolutely. And, you know, we can't forget that third category in the Old Testament, the category of the angels. The angels are constantly mediating between God and his people. We have several revelations in Daniel, even the reference of Tobit, where you have St. Raphael as a mediating force between God and Tobias. And even Michael, the archangel, is seen as a type of guardian angel of the people of the Old Testament, the Israelite people. So the angels are mediating throughout the Old Testament. They're creatures. They're not humans, but they're creatures. So scripturally, we cannot hold that there's something wrong with a creature participating in a mediation between God and man. Let's go to the New Testament, and we're going to set the foundations in this segment, and then we're going to develop them in the segments to come. In the New Testament, the whole New Testament begins with an angelic mediation, the angel Gabriel, from God to Mary. There we go, creaturely mediation. And it's a message offering Mary the possibility of being the mother of the Word made flesh, of bringing forth the incarnation. Mary, as we know, says, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Her yes, her fiat, her let it be done to me. When Mary says yes, what happens? Mary becomes a mediator, a secondary mediator, a human mediator. But as the wonderful author of a new book called Mary for Evangelicals say, we have to admit, all Christians have to admit, that Mary has a role of mediation in God becoming man. And to be very concrete about it, Mary gives Jesus his body. Mary gives Jesus the instrument of redemption so that we can say, as the deacon in the 4th century said, St. Ephrem, cum mediator, mediatrix totius mundi. Cum mediator, mediatrix totius mundi. With the mediator, you are the mediatrix of the entire world. 4th century. What does he mean? What does St. Ephrem mean? He means Mary's yes brings us the mediator. So Mary as a secondary, entirely dependent mediator plays the critical instrumental role in Jesus, the one mediator of 1 Timothy 2:5, bringing him into humanity, into the world, so that he can save us. Clearly, Mary is a mediatrix. And the trix, T-R-I-X, Latin suffix simply means a female mediator. So it's entirely dependent on Jesus. It's completely upon the foundation of his divine mediation, but you simply can't read Scripture and say Mary does not have a role in mediation. We're going to do more on this question of Mary as mediatrix. I want to say a quick hello to Father Puskarik, our Croatian priest, writing to us from Croatia saying that these Mary casts help him so much. Thank God. We're glad that they help. That's the goal. More honor to Our Lady, more truth about our God. This is Mark Miravalli saying goodbye for this session of Marycast. Stay with us. More on mediation to come.